You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Economist and former finance minister Mariano Brong is in with me this morning as we continue to look at the mid-year budget review. The economy, is our economy in good hands? And that is a very, very serious question. One person told me to ask Mariano this morning, how does a government solve poverty? Mariano, good morning to you and welcome back to the Morning Rumble. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. How are you going?
Good morning. That was a difficult question your caller wants to address.
Well, we are here this morning. I do apologize for the tardiness, but
that's all right, not a problem.
We had some commitments that I needed to address, and then somebody mentioned something to me that I just had to respond to. So now as we look as the stakeholders, Minister Devendranath Tanku, as he delivers his media budget review in Parliament later on today, I think it's about 10:30 this morning, somewhere thereabouts. The same question I chatted with Umlala earlier on, I'm going to talk with you on. We have been operating in a deficit budget for quite some time. What goodies, if any at all, or what good things that happened in the last 6 months of this media budget, and what expectancy? We have stakeholders such as the nurses, the CWU, of course, fueling and policing concerns. The chamber pushes a growth agenda with teachers awaiting their back pay. Not to mention, jobs are at the center of this all. So as we have our discussions this morning quickly, and of course you have your meeting coming up at 9, let's get to the first question of the morning. How are we faring economically at this time?
Well, Trinidad and Tobago has been in a depression since 2014, and that depression was relieved only by the increase in energy prices in 2022 and 2023, largely as a result of the war in Ukraine. So methanol prices, for example, went from $450 a ton at one stage to about $1,750 a ton. Trinidad and Tobago managed to average, I think, $1,120 a ton. And as a result of the sanctions on Russia, we became the largest exporter, not the largest producer, the largest exporter of ammonia. So that worked well for us for that period of time. And since then, the economy has, I wouldn't say tanked, but you remove that stimulus, you remove that buoyancy, well, not even buoyancy, that increase in public revenue, public expenditure, and the economy has declined. Now, the deficit financing that we've been running deficits is 26 years. This is 26 years into the century, and we've run deficits for approximately 23 out of the 26 years. The net result, of course, is your national debt goes up, your borrowing goes up, and as a result, your ratings go down. So your capacity to borrow more declines the higher your debt goes. All right, so that's the positive, that's the reality. And part of the reason for that is that government has been attempting to address the poverty situation, address the social balance situation by using government expenditure to fill what one would call any holes in the economy. Now, government's capacity to continue to do that is fraught with danger. As you see that in continuous IMF reports, which talk about the need for fiscal consolidation and a fiscal debt ratio. In other words, some sort of fiscal debt rules that will stop us from doing that on an ongoing basis. And the reason why it's hard to do politically is because the private sector isn't growing to compensate. There's only one element of the private sector that basically can drive the economy at this time, which is the energy sector. And even though that the non-oil energy sector or the non-energy sector has been improving, it's not been sufficient to be able to drive growth. So as a result of the decline in the energy sector, for example, immediately after 2023, growth started to decline. And this year, the rate of growth is expected to be 0.7, 0.8%, in other words, less than 1%. And it was the same thing in 2025. So literally, we're running on the fumes of the expansion money that took place in 2022 and 2023. Now, so government is in a particularly difficult, but a sticky wicket also, because the new government has come in. What in that 2014 to 2025 period, government did not address public sector wage negotiations. The new government, of course, made that a platform for its campaign, and address the situation. They settled all, everything that the PNM did not settle, and in particular the PSA, which is the largest block of public sector unions, and they agreed a 10% increase, which was twice the amount that was being offered by the PNM before. The difficulty is having settled the negotiations is to find the money to pay it. That's the real problem. And quite frankly, this media budget review does not address it. Why? Well, there's a reason why the PNM was only offering 4 and 5%, because even that was hard to pay. 10% makes it worse. So you'll find yourself, for example, that we know that the back pay element to just two or three union blocks come up to somewhere just under $7 billion. And quite frankly, that the this current administration doesn't have the revenue to pay it. So even when and if there is an energy price boom or energy price increases as a result of the Middle East conflict, right, those revenues, when they come in, are simply going to pay off, and not even in full, perhaps, the revenue positions from before.
Which is loans, and so forth, right?
And not on loans, not even getting loans yet. That's paying off the salary increases that the people are asking for. The revenue isn't there to do it.
What realistic expectations can one look to?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. We continue our discussions here on Freedom. We are chatting with economists. Of course, he wears many hats, and he has worn many hats in the past. Mariano Brong is here with me. It's always a pleasure to chat with him. Another good friend of ours as well, Mrs. Carolyn Sipasad Bachan. Always a pleasure to chat with these learned individuals. What realistic expectations can one look to with this media budget review, as, you know, with the information that we have in the public's domain at this time?
Not much, actually. You know, but what government will do is attempt to manage as best as it can, right? The budget was deficit was understated. At this stage, even with the media supplementation, it is still understated, right? Because it hasn't dealt with the back pay issue. The $3 billion really is to take care of additional expenses assisting from meeting back pay requirements. So you're postponing that to next year. So even if the revenue increases next year, but it's already spent, because you have a commitment on the table to pay people and to pay people increments and back pay. That's why the teachers are making noise. That's why the nurses are making noise. And I don't know how soon the PSA will start making noise too, but that has to be on the table. So there are some real issues here in terms of government's ability to pay. Now, Mr. Inbert was in the same problem, you know. That's one of the reasons why he probably was the most disliked man in the government. Because he was always in a situation, well, I don't really want to increase taxes because it's politically unacceptable, but I can't really pay anybody either. And quite frankly, this government is in exactly the same situation. So, and the evidence of that is, one, VAT refunds are not being paid, right? Well, effectively as a borrowing from the private sector. Two, CDAP, which is part of your, if you're an anti-poverty initiative to help those who are aged and in difficulty, the drugstores haven't been paid for 11 months. No, that means I am buying the drugs, I am giving all the drugs, and I'm not getting any cash, right? So how do I replace the stock? Well, I have to borrow money or reinvest whatever profit I had. So it means my cash flow is out. Now, that's the situation across the board right now in the country. So this is not an easy time. It's difficult. And quite frankly, the bet is, and the same way Mr. Inbert was betting a boom in the energy sector was going to come. Well, that's what everybody's looking forward to, another increase in prices. The real problem here is that the increase in prices won't help us too much. Why? Because 50% of the plants in the energy sector, in the petrochemical sector, are closed. Why did they close? They don't have enough gas to go around. Simple as that. They don't have enough gas. So the critical issue, that's why Dragon was so important. That's why the PNM were paying so much attention to Dragon. That's why this administration will have to do the same thing, right? So the only horse in the race so far in the energy sector that is likely to come on stream and make a difference is the Manatee. And when that comes on stream, well, and they get some extra revenue out of it. We have to remember when Manatee comes on stream, well, I spent about $2 billion putting this in position.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to get cost recovery first.
Before anything else.
All right. So let's that's take... a limitation on whatever additional revenues will come. So this is difficult.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir? I see them fellas trying to set up your pressure.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that we know PNM is quite clear at working at is the race game.
No, well, we're dealing with the economy right now and the media budget review. Your thoughts on that or a question for our guest, Mr. Mariano Brown?
Sorry. All right. I'll call back.
All right. 625-2257 if you have concerns. I did get a message coming in to me. Hello, good morning.
Lezam, good morning, Davey, again.
Good morning.
Lezam, good morning to Mr. Mariano Brown, man.
Mm-hmm.
Morales here, Mr. Mariano Brown. I met you in something, some forum here, that one years ago. By a regular colonel program and contribution to all national issues. All right. Mr. Mariano Brown, I answered the customer, man, I appreciate, right? What you do at the present state, I put in any place of the finance minister, the present economy, have you taken the country a year ago? Give us a little paraphrase. I know you can't go detail. Give us a little paraphrase what you would or would not have done. I'll listen off here to hear your response.
That's a very good question, putting him in that space that he existed in the past. Anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Mariano Brown, for your timely and informative series on the economics of the FIFA and the World Cup. This texter is saying they love it. So, Mariano, you're coming in for some praises there. All right. So, had you been in the seat of the Honorable Devendranath Tanku today, or when he took office a little over a year ago, as Minister of Finance, what would you have done differently, given the realistic economic challenges that we are facing in this country? That's what the caller is asking.
The first order condition is that you have to address the fiscal shortfall. And the key way to address the fiscal shortfall is increased taxes. That's the reality. You can't get away
taxes
from
taxes or penalties and fines?
No, not penalties and fines. Those are nuisances, right? If you say the country is in discipline, what you need is enforcement, not higher fines. Right? You need to enforce the rules. Right? You have to put the rules in place and follow through the rules. So get that in order. If the rules aren't being followed, and you need to basically get people's attention, you burn them a bit, then you increase the fine. Not before. What's the way we have now is you're increasing the fines. Bottom line, enforcement. Those are things that will to keep things going.
But
the reality in terms of generating more revenue, you have to address the situation.
All right.
Right? How do you get revenue? The only way a government gets revenue is taxation.
But this government has lobbied against it under the past administration, stating that you can't tax a nation into prosperity. So
no, I never said that you want to tax a nation into prosperity. What you want to do is close holes. So, for example, this is for example.
Mm.
All right? TNTech gets money from government. All right? They put it in, not in the form of subventions. They have a creative measure to basically do it. But at the same time, when you look at TNTech's income statement, it's losing $1.5 billion a year, right? It's getting gas at under cost. It can't pay NGC because it isn't collecting enough money on electricity distribution. Well, that's a recipe for failure. The only way you can address that is address the rates, full stop. WASA, and by the way, right? And you're borrowing every time TNTech borrows more. So when TNTech makes a $1.5 billion loss, $1.1 billion is interest. So you're getting somebody's bank account fat at the same time because you are not collecting what you should be collecting for your rates to keep your rate structure in position. How are you going to get any kind of transformation if you send the wrong economic signals? And price is one of those mechanisms. We go to WASA. WASA has a whatever loss it is. The subvention is $1.8 billion a year. Right, so between those two institutions you're talking about, you're spending about just under 5% of your national budget. Right? The state you can't provide electricity for free and water for free, even if you just want to meet the marginal cost. Right? So that's about $3 or $4 billion there that in a sense the government should be spending, the public supposed to be spending. It's not the news that the public wants to hear, but that's the reality of the situation. If you want to get conservation, the only way you can get chief conservation either with electricity usage or with water usage, or with, for that matter, with regard to gas, it's not just the price. Right? Then people will find different ways to do it. Of course, it's going to cause hardship, but there's additional difficulty. If the government has to spend money on all of those things and it can't pay public servants, what are you going to get with the public service? Inefficiency, lack of a will to work, and every other thing that goes with that. You can't expect the private sector to be efficient if my public sector is inefficient. The things are related. So you have to put some level of organization, and you have to make some hard decisions, and the country has to understand the hard decisions. Mr. Inbert used to keep telling us, right, that you don't have cash for this, you don't have cash for that, but you got things are moving well. Well, the two things are dissonant. It just don't work together.
Seems to be an
oxymoron. Mr. Tanku is in the same position. He comes in, he creates a budget, but he leaves out back pay. He leaves out the increase in this. He talks about jobs for this and jobs for that, and the net effect is a supplemental budget where he has to pay additional salaries, but he's not paying the back pay. It can't work that way. You have to adjust your revenue.
Let's take a call quickly. Good morning.
Morning, Davey, again. Morning, Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, do you think that in relation to the government's approach to stop the revenue authority, stop the property tax, the geopolitical aspect with Venezuela that put them out of the whole proper negotiation with the Dragon Seal, all these factors, the stopping of Wando and these things, do you think that those more or less things that they put on hold or canceled, do you think it put them in even a worse bind? I listen.
Putting those things on hold hasn't helped your situation. All right, so 6 to 8 weeks ago, the Prime Minister said she's putting together to send a delegation to Venezuela. No word out of it. You haven't appointed an ambassador to Venezuela. You can't get a full negotiating team or get a little window into the back door. Right? And the Americans are clearly doing business with Delcy. Right? So Delcy they've removed the strictures on Delcy. Delcy's going to India, Delcy's going to Barbados, Delcy's going to Grenada. She sent a message to Trinidad, they'll be going and taking you on. Right? So you can't kick her up on one side and then come and play nice and want a friend. Not going to work. Right? So you have to rejig your approach to getting that done. At the same token, every minister of finance, including UNC ministers of finance, try to reintroduce the revenue authority in different ways. So we scrapped the revenue authority. So you've basically played up to the PSA, which was against the revenue authority. But we're going to improve these measures, which is really trying to improve the entire revenue collection process. We're trying to do the same thing, right, to get the same result, but using it under a different name. All right. What is the result?
Well, we have
to see what has happened.
Well, that's what we have to see here, and that's what this media budget in the next couple hours will tell us. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mariano. Mind they call you a PNM this morning, you know?
You can call me anything you want, right? But because, the objective is the real word that you should use.
Because we were asking for a rate increase for TNTech. Explain the debt for TNTech. And they said to the population, no. All what is going to be done. And now that they get into office, realize, same thing with Wassa. Wassa took a loan, sent home how many thousand of them. They came back into office, employed the same thing. So Dr. Eric Williams used a word, and and this administration is the word that points out the lack of vision, and to me, fool the population, could wing the population based on promises, as you outlined. You get 10%, you know, but you can't get the back pay. The same man who read the budget didn't put none of these things in the budget. And when we said that to him, they say we were mad. So come on. So enjoy your morning. Everybody, Guardian and all this PNM, you know, enjoy the morning.
I think he was being sarcastic.
I would imagine. Huh? Hello, good morning.
Morning, baby. And Mr. Arum, Mr. Brown, could you please tell us, like nobody knows, what is the national debt or Trinidad and Tobago? Is it $150 billion or $200 billion? Could you clarify that for me, please?
I don't understand the question. What is the question with clarifying? What would you got?
He wants to know what is our national debt, if it's $1 point something billion or $200 billion.
1.7 billion, well, GDP is approximately 200 billion.
Right.
Right. And the national debt is about 83% of that. So that's 160 billion, not 1.2 billion. Not,
well, I mean, no, he did say 160. My correction is 150. He said 150. 150 billion or 200 billion. So it's 160.
Well, it's going up.
It's going up. It's climbing. All right. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Brown, clearly the Minister of Finance has some payment problems. And the issue that we talk about in relation to the Revenue Authority, rather than the cacophony of taxes he's introducing all over the place, that is something that really and truly has to be a heavy on him. But the question that remains to my mind right now is that the promises that had been made prior to the election, the 10%, the back pay, the all of this, all of that, how long does the minister believe he can delay that? And would the minister take some kind of step that is going to allow us in this country to open our mouths? I really and truly like my dollar the way it is, you know. But I hope everything remains the way it is, because I know that the minister doesn't have an easy task. Thank you.
All right. One texter is saying, what are your thoughts, before you respond to that texter, on the government's revitalization plan, which was revealed a few months ago, and we haven't heard anything on it since?
Well, it can't revitalize if you have no money to do it.
Well,
And the revitalization plan, as predicated by the Minister of Planning and Development, is built on the private sector. So the idea was, and Miss Jolene John went off on a trip to raise money to the Gulf States. Now, you want to remind me what happened in the Gulf States again over the last couple of months? they have a massive problem. They have to rebuild infrastructure. War is very destructive. Now, do I have money to invest in Trinidad and Tobago, or do I have to spend money in terms of fixing the damages which were done? And there's a substantial amount of damage was done. You know, we're not clear about the full impact in terms of what took place in the world. They kept that under wraps. But it's going to take more than a year to fix that, right? So definitely no money coming in for that from the Middle East. So what are the alternatives? So I don't figure that the revitalization blueprint has much to go on at the moment.
All right, so as we get closer to the end of this interview, please bear in mind, as we thank Mariano Brown, we'll take I have a couple calls that messages coming in that wanted to say some, to send some words. Let me see this one here. Let me hear you.
Morning, Davey. Firstly, Rowley Jr. should change his name.
All right, so we'll get back to that. Hello, good morning. Quickly, please. Hello, good morning. Quickly.
Good morning, Princess Tong. Morning, Dr. Brown. I'd like to, Mr. Brown, if you could share with us, we're talking about a lot of subsidies and transfers and so on, TNTech, WASA, et cetera. But what about productivity and efficiency? I mean, if we had to sustain our state enterprises and public utilities, the cost that they incur, is it justified? Are we getting value for money? Thank you, Princess Tong.
And he's right, we've talked about, but the point is that the minister hasn't had time to deal with productivity. He can't even deal with his expenditure profile, far less to talk about getting productivity. And how are you going to get productivity out of your, particularly the public sector, if you're not paying them? I mean, you have to remember that it is, how many negotiating periods? It's 12 years. And they can't even pay back pay for six. We haven't started to deal with the other 6 years, you know. We're only dealing with the period 2014 to 2019. The period 2020 to 2025 hasn't been put on the table yet. You think that's going to be any less than the figures? And if you can't pay for the period 2014 to 2019, how are you going to manage the 2020 to 2025 period? Now, nobody's been paying attention to that, you know. But those are the biggest issues. Those are big issues. So to talk about a boom coming, or we're going to get extra revenue, can we get extra gas, the money has already been spent. That's the difficulty. So every minister of finance for the last 10 years have been facing this issue. And subsidies and transfers amount to more than 50% of the budget. So that can't carry us forward. It can't.
But given the economic challenges and realistic the reality is facing our finances in this country, was it prudent of the government to remove at least a dollar of the subsidy of gas prices? I mean, I am grateful. I feel the effects on the pumps. I'm being honest. You know, could the government have afforded that at the point in time?
Well, here's the problem with that. At the time they made the because prices were reasonably stable and decided to play the game. So we will basically appeal to everybody in what we consider to be the lower income segment by adjusting the price of fuel. Right now, in North America, as around the world, the prices of fuel have gone up by something in the order of 50%. Right? We are still at the lower price that we were. So if you look at any index at the moment, Trinidad is like a sore thumb. We're below the market price for every country in the region, everyone. And it's not because we're producing oil or that we have a refinery which is producing, well, if you fuel, we're buying fuel at the same prices they're buying it at. So obviously that's a subsidy. So where is that subsidy accounted for in the budget, in full, right? No, on average, the entire Caribbean, which has also subsidized energy prices, the market price has gone up by about 15 to 16%. But in Trinidad, we have the reverse position. We drop ours. The government's budget is bound to be in a mess. You're bound to be in a deficit. And unless you address some of those situations, no. And again, Mr. Tanku is in the same position as Mr. Imbert, talking about how things are going to improve and everything is going to go well, right? And at the same token, meeting daily expenses is a problem. One political scientist says they only have a little cash flow problem. Well, the fundamental issue that affects any country is finances. And if you don't get that right, that's when you run into problems. And that's exactly where we are. Now, Trinidad Tobago looks good on the surface, but it's a knife edge. A knife edge. And we're wrong into the knife edge at this stage of the game. Somewhere along the line, the government of Trinidad and Tobago, PNM or UNC, has to get realistic. And if they don't get realistic, we'll end up in the same position with Jamaica and or Barbados and have to borrow and go cap in hand to the IMF. And other things are going to happen. That's the reality.
One texter says, good morning, Davey. Your guest said the PNM government didn't have the money to do what they had to do, but they were able to raise their salaries. And when I speak on that issue, Mariano, I deal with it on a level that it's 40, 55 politicians at best. I want to say that, all right? Maybe 60, including the independents and what have you, as opposed to thousands of public servants having to spend this amount of money on a recurring basis, because once you raise it, you pay the one-off back pay. Remember, this is a recurring expenditure somewhere in the sense of 2 point something billion on the public's purse yearly, I think, going forward. But I want to thank you very much. The realities are grim, but you...
They're difficult.
Difficult.
And you're right. I mean, it's not only the politician, but it's also senior public servants. Yeah. So the permanent secretaries and so on, a number of other people were caught into that. So say 200 people.
Right. As opposed to 3,000, 5,000...
No. The public service is 100,000 people.
Wow. Well, you see, I was only being modest. So 100,000 persons over that. So
even if you make a distinction between the civil service, right, and the rest of the public service, because you have to remember the agencies of state will include the police,
right,
fire services, the nurses, and everybody else. True. And so we're talking about 100,000 people here,
as
right?
Opposed to
A good 20% of the workforce. Now the difficulty there is the cognitive signal. You are asking me to make a sacrifice. You haven't given me any increment for 4 negotiating periods, in addition to my normal increments, and you give yourself a salary increase. Now the interesting thing about it is that the new government comes into position and promises to pay everybody else, but they didn't take any haircut. So it's always going to rub a union the wrong way, right? And that's when you're in a leadership position, you can't say this is what you want to do. I want you to do this, but I'm not going to do it, right? At the end of the day, all of us have to do it. That's the reality, right? And the quicker we understand that and we accept that at a political level, the better.
That's what A&R Robinson did back in the 80s. He instructed his government, every minister, we had to take a pay cut. Time's hard. It was a very
important. And when he did that, guess what? The private sector did the same thing.
Thank you very much, Mario.
Private sector did the same thing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown, for chatting with us this morning. It's always a pleasure. We learn a lot. And no doubt, after this mid-year budget review is presented in Parliament, you and I will have conversations again, maybe by next week, and we'll review what is being said and look at it again. Thank you again, and do have a very safe and productive day. I know you have a next meeting ahead. All the best.
Thank you very much. You take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.